Well, today is a very special day. 54 years ago today, I was fishing at this time of day. And you might ask me, how do you know that? Well, the day we got married was 7 o'clock in the evening. It was a Tuesday. In the morning, I got up and went fishing with the best man and the guy that was with him. And so all the wedding party on my side, we went fishing. And then that afternoon at 7 o'clock, we got married. 54 years. Is this a wonderful gal? 54 years of her putting up with me. She needs a medal. My family thinks she is a saint. Today is a very special day for another reason. Today is Pentecost Sunday. How many of you were aware of that? A couple of us, okay. My wife was, because she's heard this before. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Comes out of Acts chapter 2. Allow me to read a little bit of that. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. And as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Again, from there it goes on to talk about how they were amazed, and they begin to ask, what is this? And then eventually Peter gets up and he says, this is that. And then he refers them back to the book of Joel, to a prophecy in the book of Joel. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a Greek word signifying the 50th part of a thing. The 50th in order. Among the Jews, it was applied to one of the three great feasts that they were required to attend. Required to attend these three great feasts of the year. It was called the Passover, called Pentecost, because it occurred 50 days after the first day of the Feast of Passover. The feast was called the Feast of Weeks. Exodus 23:17 tells us that it is one of the three times a year all males were supposed to gather before the Lord. The first one of those is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. You know what the Passover is. That's when Israel was enslaved in Egypt. Moses rose up and led them out of Egypt, and on the night that they went out, Moses had them kill a lamb without spot and devour it in the night. That night, the angel of God went through the whole community, and every one of their firstborn males died, animal and man. And then the Pharaoh asked them to leave. Another one of the three is the Feast of Ingathering. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is when they were required to go out into the wilderness and gather up some tree limbs and branches and make little shelters and live in those shelters for 7 days. And so they were required to do that. That happened sometime in September. The Feast of Pentecost happens 50 days after the Passover. It's called the Feast of First Fruits, of Harvest. It's called the Feast of Weeks, but it's Pentecost. It's when the winter wheat was harvested, and then they were required to take the meal from that, the first meal, the first fruit, and make loaves of bread, and it was a part of the celebration. It was a time to celebrate God's blessing and abundance, and the time of harvest. Today, I want to speak to this wonderful day, the day of Pentecost. I look around, and it seems like this day kind of gets very little notice, as if it was unimportant. It's kind of like it gets sloughed off and maybe even just forgotten. But today I would like for us to consider that Pentecost is really a very important day for the church. Really important. A very important event in the history of the church. Today I would like us to look at some of the things that makes this day really important. Would you join me in prayer? Father, this morning as we open these words and we clumsily go through the list of things that makes this day very precious and important to us, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. I ask you to enable me to say things clearly, without confusion. We ask you to make things understandable. And I pray that as we leave here encouraged to offer ourselves to you and invite you to fill our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Pentecost was a part of the Jewish faith. The events of that day were really important to the Jews. This day in the book of Acts was really important to us because it actually started a long time before. When Peter stood up to preach, he referred back to the book of Joel. He said, "This is that which the prophet Joel spoke of." And this is what he said about that prophecy. He quoted it. And he said, "In the last days it will be, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will perform wonders in the sky above and miraculous signs in the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be changed to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes, and then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So these verses Peter quoted out of the book of Joel. The interesting thing to me is that Joel was written 835 to 805 B.C., somewhere in that range, with 835 to 805 B.C. That's like 800 plus years before Jesus came. So that tells me that 800 plus years before Jesus came, 800 plus years before this happened in the book of Acts, 800 plus years before we even thought about experiencing this kind of thing, 800 years before God became flesh and dwelt among us, Joel prophetically said, "This is going to happen." That tells me God planned this event in the book of Acts that we celebrate today. He planned this 800 plus years before it ever happened. If God planned something that far in advance, do you think that that was an important day then? If it was important to God 800 years before it happened, the day it happened becomes really important and should be important to us. The fact that God spoke this prophetically, declared it long before it ever happened, in my mind, makes this really important. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost happened just like God planned it. And so it's not just some kind of a ho-hum event that can be observed or forgotten, whichever one anyone desires, but it becomes really important. This day presents some events that might consider to be kind of uncomfortable to deal with, and maybe that's why they don't say much about it. While that may be true, that some struggle with the events of the day, some emphasize other parts of it, almost to the point of overemphasizing just that one piece, and then they miss out on all the other good stuff that's there. Today, I want to lay aside every one of our struggles, whichever one you may be in. I want to lay aside all of our prejudices, and I want you to just join me as we look at this whole day and see how it has impacted the church that we celebrate and worship in. I want us to see this whole day as being significant to the early church and significant to us. I want to emphasize that we, the church, still have to depend on the Holy Spirit. That is, if we want to have a fruitful ministry of any kind, even the least bit of effectiveness as a church comes from the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon us. The day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, not sprinkled or dribbled, but poured. My imagination allows me to see a great big bucket just being poured out on the church. And it was gushes and overflowing and very much pouring out, very generous, not stingy, but generous of God. It's a day that can be considered the day when the church was born. It's a day when the disciples were changed from being a fearful group of praying people to a bold and strong and effective ministry. Jesus often spoke of the coming of that Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, Scripture tells us that John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, that the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. It was like that. And Apostle John, in his writings, shares at least four times that Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. He calls him the Comforter. That's in the King James Version. I like the word comforter because it kind of sounds comfortable. It makes me feel like it's something coming into my life that makes me better, makes me feel better, makes me do better. I like that thought of a comforter. John says in John 14, 16, it quotes Jesus. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, 26, Jesus said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, 26, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then in John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Notice the things that Jesus says of the Holy Spirit here. Notice that he refers to the Holy Spirit as he, not it. He's not some kind of little force or something. He is he. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he will abide with us, in us. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That Holy Spirit in us teaches, leads, reveals, speaks. He's a person, and he's not an it. He, the Comforter, is the Holy Spirit. He comes to us from the Father, and he is for us. He will teach us. He will cause us to recall the things that Jesus taught. He will always point to Jesus to give glory to the Lord. The coming of the Holy Spirit is for our benefit because we need him. He's for our benefit, and he comes to us to empower us, to inspire us, to refresh us, to enable us, to teach us. He intercedes for us, to lead us, to speak for us, through us. He speaks to the glory of Christ in our midst and before the world. The Holy Spirit is for our benefit, and he empowers and enables us. After the resurrection, just before Jesus ascends into heaven in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus turns to his disciples in verse 8, and he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and ye will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the farthest parts of the earth. And so he told them, here in a few days, you will receive the Holy Spirit, and he will empower you to be my witnesses. He foretold this event that was planned by Joel 800 plus years before. He tells me that this event was God's plan, that it was very important, that it's vital to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. So as we share these verses, I'm sure you're aware that there is more than enough information there for all kinds of sermons, more than just one. But my purpose is just to refer to them, to emphasize that the coming of the Holy Spirit to his church was important to Jesus. Important to Jesus enough to prepare his disciples for that event that was to come in just a few days. This event begins the birth of the church. Think about this event as it happened. Excuse me. Would you like a drink? This event begins the birth of the church. And it began something like 9 o'clock in the morning. You remember, Peter said, you guys, they're not drunk like you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. So this began like an early morning prayer time. And so about 9 o'clock in the morning, there was about 120 people in an upper room praying quietly. And while they were praying, they hardly drew any attention at all. And nobody paid any attention to them. But then all of a sudden, there was a strong wind that went through the building. Can you imagine that? And tongues of flames of fire appeared over their heads, and they began to speak in various languages. This Pentecost feast was a required one, as we said a moment ago. And so there were men from all over the place, all different nationalities, different languages were there. All kinds of people were there, lots and lots of them. And they began to hear these people speaking in various languages. At this point, tongues was introduced to the church. It's not my plan to dwell on that, just to mention it happened. But that's not the only thing that happened. But it was a big thing. And it drew a lot of attention from a lot of people. I would say it became important later in the book of Acts, but we'll talk more about that in a minute, confirming that God had opened the grace to the Gentiles as well as us. And so there are those who would argue tongues is no longer available, and others argue it really is still available. A crowd gathered around them, this prayer group, and I can't imagine how that looked, because it wasn't just a few. Because we're going to read here in a minute how there was an altar call. An altar call had 3,000 people. And so the crowd that gathered around that upper room was at least 3,000 people. Can you imagine your church drawing the attention of 3,000 people all standing around out here in the parking lot wondering what's going on in there? What are they doing in there? I can hear them. And so here there was this big crowd of people gathered around, and the crowd was gathering, and they were confused about what was happening. And because all of these devout Jews were there from every nation under heaven residing in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Great number of people from all different locations. And so they begin to question, aren't these guys all Galileans? How is it that we hear them speaking in our own language? And it says they're talking about the wonderful things that God has done. And they were all astounded and greatly confused, saying to one another, what does this mean? What's going on here? And then there's always a guy in the crowd that's going to mock, and he says, ah, they're just all drunk. And so people were just begging for an explanation. What's going on here? Peter, hearing all of these remarks, stood up and said, they're not drunk like you think. It's too early in the morning. But he said, this is that. And as he spoke, he pointed to the words of Joel. In referring to Joel, it gives credibility to the events of that day. And so then he gives a short sermon that produced 3,000 believers that day. Wouldn't you love to see an altar call like that here? Wouldn't you love to see 3,000 people in here? You couldn't get in here if we had 3,000. Can you imagine that? Imagine 1,000 people in here. We'd be shoulder to shoulder. 3,000 people in an altar call. Boy, I would love to do that. Preach a little sermon and have an altar call of 3,000. And that's what happened. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit drew 3,000 people who were convicted of their sin, convinced them of their need of Jesus. Peter gives this short little sermon. 3,000 people are saved. How could Peter do that when he was fearful before? This boldness of Peter to even stand up and speak at such a time, that boldness came from the Holy Spirit. Where did he get a sermon that was prepared just for that? Well, it came from the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with power to declare the gospel, and Peter stood up and did. They were filled with a fresh boldness, filled with certain gifts of the Spirit for ministry. They were filled with love, a love for those who previously were unloved. I'm talking about the Gentiles. This event begins the birth of the church and the extending of the gospel beyond the Jews on into the Gentiles. At that point, only Christians were Jewish Christians. But from this point on, Gentiles begin to be included. It was sometime later, well, before Jesus died, Jesus told them in John 10:16, he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Jesus said, there's a day where we're going to blend together, become one. And this event was happening on that day. In Acts 10, Peter was in the house of Simon the Tanner, up on the roof. He was praying and fasting, and he was hungry. And he says, and he saw a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven. You all have read that. And it was full of all kinds of creeping things, bugs and stuff. And the voice says, kill and eat. And Peter said, oh, no way. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. I'm not eating any of that. And God says, don't call what I have cleansed unclean. Peter sees this 3 times. Then there's a knock on the door. There were some men who were sent from Cornelius. Cornelius was a Jewish man, or a Gentile man, who was sympathetic toward the Jews, but also open to the gospel. He had been praying, and he seen an angel. An angel told him to send to get Peter and bring him here. So these men come to gather Peter and take him to the house of Cornelius, which he did. Peter gets to the house of Cornelius, begins to share the message of Christ, and the Holy Spirit fell on this house full of people, much like it fell on the day of Pentecost in that upper room. And this group of Christians saw all of this happening, and they were astonished, because they had seen what was for the Jews now being extended to the Gentiles. They returned home from their trip. They're called before the church to explain why they had gone to the house of a Gentile, because that was unacceptable. And so they began to explain and tell the story of what had happened. Acts 11:18 says that when they heard this, they stopped their questioning. They praised God, saying, so then, God has granted the repentance that leads to life, even to the Gentiles. And so now this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on these Gentiles was evidence the gospel had been extended to them. They had seen the same things happening in the Gentiles that they experienced themselves on the day of Pentecost. And now they're saying, this is witness. Gentiles can come to Christ and be the church. And so this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was evidence that God had extended the blessings of salvation. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a display of God empowering people for His work. As He sent Peter to the house of Cornelius, He had empowered him for that purpose. As the Spirit enters you and I, He empowers us to do what you and I could not do otherwise. Here was a group of people who were fearful Christians, who were praying, who were seeking God. The Holy Spirit is poured out on that group of believers, and they are transformed into a strong, very strong witness who spoke with boldness, boldness that they didn't have before that. He says, I will pour out generosity of God, pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, on your sons, your daughters, young men, old men, servants, maidservants, without distinction of sex, age, or rank. I have gone to kids' camp, little kids like we have back there in church camp, and we've prayed with them to receive the Holy Spirit, and I've seen that happen with kids. God is not a respecter of age, sex, or rank, or anyone. Sons, daughters, young men, old men, servants, handmaidens, without distinction of age, sex, rank. He even pours His Spirit out on Four Square churches. How about that? This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when that Holy Spirit is present in us, it transforms us. It changes us. Changes us from the inside out. Galatians 5:22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These qualities of the Holy Spirit are evidence of His presence in our life. That fruit of the Spirit, that love, that peace, that joy, long-suffering, gentleness, all of those things are evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The power for us to change, to become the people we really want to be, that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. You want to change more? Become more and more sensitive and responsive to the Holy Spirit. His presence in us brings these things with Him as He comes in. As we seek Him in our life, we live sensitive to Him. We make room for Him in our life. And as we do, these things become evident. The more we are responsive to the Holy Spirit, the more of those things begin to show up. The more we give room to Him in our life, the more He fills us. The more these things show up. As we intentionally study God's Word, intentionally seek Him, the more we live our life to please Him, all those things allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow in us. We want that to happen in us. We need that to happen in us. That gives evidence of whose we are and who's resident in us. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit begins to add gifts to the church for ministry. He gifts us to serve with gifts of ministry. We see that happen later on in the book of in the Gospels where and Book of Acts, where Peter and John go into the gate beautiful and they heal the lame man, and other times. But you see that happening, those gifts active in the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11, it that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation. But it's the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these things that work one, the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Different kinds of gifts, different ministries producing different kinds of results, all because of the same Spirit resident, given to everyone to profit all. He gifts a person for the church. The gift is not to make the guy or the lady some kind of a celebrity, but it's given to bless the church, to use that person with those gifts to bless the church. Some say these gifts are no longer available. My opinion is that they are just as valid today as they ever were, because it's the same Holy Spirit. He doesn't change. Maybe we're not as available to Him as we need to be, should be, could be. Maybe we just need to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit much more than we have. All working by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one given by the Holy Spirit as He chooses, always for the purpose of bringing glory to God. The day of Pentecost, that's today. It was a God-fulfilled promise that He had made hundreds of years before. The church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out. The Holy Spirit is enabling people to do what they could not do otherwise. The only way that you and I can be effective as ministry is by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we do with that thought? How do we deal with that? What do we say about that? If it is really true that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, given to the church, is resident in our lives today, if that is really true, our desire should be to be filled with that Holy Spirit. I hear people question the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and my answer to them has been, if God's got it, and it's for us, I want all of it that He wants to give me. I want to be available to whatever He has for me. My question to you this morning is, how available are you? How open are you to the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life and through your life? It doesn't always have to be a great big demonstration of stuff. Sometimes it can happen in just a very quiet moment, just in a private time. In a phone call, one-on-one. It doesn't always have to be in a stadium in front of people or anything wild and crazy. It could be just very quiet, but very powerful. How available are you to the Holy Spirit? See, that comes down to us. It's like God said, here, this is available. Are you available? Father, we clumsily have talked about the day of Pentecost. We've talked about the gifts. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about the impact of the Holy Spirit on the church. Lord, we've talked about the events of that day. It's the same Holy Spirit that is resident in us. Father, this morning I want to offer you myself, my life, whatever I have left in my life. I want to offer that to you. I really need you, I really need the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to fill us afresh. We live in a really rough world right now. And we know that Jesus is coming soon. And we want to be as effective as we possibly can. And I'm asking you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit for each one of us so that we can be as effective as we possibly can, reaching as many as we possibly can. We say, Lord, here we are. Use us. In Jesus' name.